No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Bear Essentials. On today's show, we count down to the 2024 NFL Draft and much more. What's happening, Brent?
Hey, man, I'm just glad to be back up on the show, audience. I know y'all missed us. Man, me and A-Dub, man, we've been traveling like crazy. Even right now, we are at a remote site here. We were covering another event. And so I was like, so instead of just making the audience wait another day before we get the show out, I was like, let's just go ahead and get the show recorded from the press box. So, audience, we are back. We are so excited for this 2024 draft, a new era of Chicago Bears football. A-Dub, man, I feel like, man, we might need to post up and do this more often, man. It's kind of cool doing this like this.
Yeah, man, it's unique. First time doing it. I kind of like this feel, this setting, man. Feels pretty good.
It is, man. You know, like I said, all this, we got some cool sites here. You know what I'm saying? Down here in Champaign, we covered the Illini spring game. And you know, like A-Dub said, we're up here in the press box, man. We got the view of not only the football field, but campus, where they play the basketball games at. Champaign, Illinois is a very beautiful city, so very honored that we get to cover this team along with the Chicago Bears. But A-Dub, man, without further ado, man, let's get into it. So it's been a while since we've been on this show. It's been a lot of news that we haven't even been able to touch on. The first thing I wanted to get your thoughts on was Jalen Johnson changing that number from 33 to number one.
I think Jalen Johnson's trying to send a message right here, Prince. I mean, the guy's starting his own thing. As you can see, last season, he was awesome. Big time for the Chicago Bears.
You know, he did wear that number in college. But the thing is, it's so funny with fans, right? I feel so bad for us average folk that we want to buy a jersey for players on these teams that we like. Yeah. And then either the player leaves the team or these players are changing their damn jersey numbers. Damn. You know what? I don't know if you peeped last year, A-Dub, but Jalen Johnson's jersey, it was available on the NFL store. It was like 50% off. And I wondered in my head, okay, why was his jersey 50% off? And they even had one for Darnell Wright that was discounted. I'm like, is he changing his number too? So who knows?
But I tell you, that number one should be a hot seller, man.
Oh, that number one, that looks nice. That looks real nice.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, right? So we all like talking about jersey numbers. So Tyler Scott, he gave up that number 13, but we still don't know who's going to wear 13. Is it going to be Caleb? Is it going to be Keenan Allen? Who are you putting your money on?
I'm going to put my money on a rookie, man. I think they're all going to say, you know what? Let the rookie have his way this time.
Ooh, I think the vet will get it, man. I think so. I heard somewhere where Caleb wanted to wear a different number, but we'll see. But I think Keenan going to end up getting that jersey number.
Hey, that would be respect right there. If you want to get an OG, the jersey, then go ahead, man. He earned it. Played that jersey for so long. Why not?
Yeah, man. He, like you say, OG in the game. That's the only jersey number he's ever rocked with. So, yeah. You know, I like I said, I have no problem with it whatsoever.
To that point there, Perez, all you and I really do care about at the end of the day is how they perform on the field.
That's exactly right. So let's just get into Caleb Williams, right? So there's been obviously so much talk this offseason about Caleb. You and I had a beat reporter from USC come on. I hope audience and people that became familiar with DBE kind of came away from that discussion, maybe changing their opinions about Caleb if you were thinking certain ways about him. But there's been a lot of like just random noise out there about Caleb, A-Dub, people talking about, oh, he hasn't faced any sort of adversity. And Caleb was not shy about mixing it up. I mean, he is not – see, when Justin Fields kind of like took punches and kind of just like was playing things like, you know, down the middle, Caleb Williams is not afraid to box people on their commentary and their takes.
He sounds more like Kevin Durant, like someone make a response, I'll respond back.
No, that's facts. That's total facts right there. But I think it's kind of weird for people to sit here and try to judge someone and say that they haven't had any adversity. You don't know somebody's life. Just because you see that this person's got some millions and now, you don't know how he grew up. You don't know about personal struggles that he has. That's always one of those things I think people need to kind of maybe slow up a little bit when we start saying people haven't gone through adversity, because everybody has their struggles.
Because you don't become that good of a football player without adversity. I mean, this guy is a top-tier quarterback in college. He got there for a reason, and I'm quite sure adversity played a part in that.
But I'll tell you, this is the thing, man. What, to me, it just comes off as hate. We have a prospect here that's so polarizing, right? And it has nothing to do with football. When you flip on the tape on this guy, you see a guy with the insane arm strength, right? The accuracy, creative. You know, when plays break down, he's got a little bit of that Aaron Rodgers to his game. Now, I know all days you're going to sit up here and say, praise Aaron Rodgers, oh my God. But I'm just trying to tell y'all that some of the things that he does is Aaron Rodgers-esque. And I'm here for it, right? The guy has a really high ceiling. And this is the kind of shit that we're not used to here in Chicago. And I think that we need to gear up for it and be ready and be prepared for it.
Because all the things you said about him, man, is true. But the thing is, what he can do to this Chicago Bears team, who run the football extremely well, he can bring balance.
No, he don't just bring balance, man. I mean, you got to think about it like this, A-Dub. Before we talked about balance with this football team, we talked about the running game complementing Justin Fields and what he did best.
Right.
Now, I feel like with a guy like Caleb Williams, it's going to be more than some balance. It's basically him going to be tipping the scale. And I think that that's what he's going to be able to bring to the ball game.
Then tip that damn scale then.
But again, like I said, man, when you have people sitting here calling him out, questioning his adversity and right. things of that nature, I just love how he went back and forth with people. It was like, oh, really? So he's like, I didn't start my freshman year of college. He talked about how he popped his hammy in the championship game. They lost that game because his hammy was all messed up.
Right.
Last season, he was 7-5. We saw the guy breaking down and having emotional moments with his mom in the stands, which people criticized him for, which I thought was trash. So what type of adversity you want him to go through?
The guy been through enough, man. I mean, look, you can't talk about a guy like that and think he doesn't care, think he hasn't faced any adversity. That is what helped you become better as a quarterback. You take everything, every moment that's a downfall to you, and it weighs on your shoulder. And you saw that with how he was with his mom. That lets you know that this guy have gone through some things. But guess what? He can learn from it and grow from it.
But at this point, to me, it just comes off more is you got certain analysts and people out here that report on football. Right. And they're just looking for new ways to kind of, almost in a way, bring the kid down to take shots at him. And to me, listen, he's already going to face enough adversity entering the NFL as a rookie quarterback.
Agreed.
And also in this fan base and in that locker room of replacing a very popular figure in Justin Fields. And the Chicago Bears are going to throw him into the fire immediately.
And with all the weapons surrounding him, Perez, that comes with a level of expectation. So he has a lot on his plate right now going into the NFL.
I'm not going to lie to you, though, A-Dub, when my man sat up there, he started talking about Brady. And I'm sitting here like, okay, so now this man, he ain't just talking about having success in the league. He's talking about a guy that won, what, 7 rings, A-Dub?
Hey, hitting on GOAT status right there.
But my thing is, that shows you a mentality, right? And that was the thing that impressed me with him at the combine, where he's not afraid to have those type of discussions. He's not even afraid to touch on type of stuff like that, because most people, as a rookie quarterback, they're not going to come into the NFL even approaching a subject like a Tom Brady, right? Because a lot of times they're like, no, man, I want to shy away from that because I don't want to bring that type of pressure and attention to myself. And Caleb's like, bring that. And I was like, damn, all right, Caleb, that's how you live?
It tells me he's ready for all the smoke, man. And that's that mentality that Kobe Bryant had, you know, wanting to beat Jordan or be better than Jordan. I mean, you coming in like that, Cable, that means you coming in putting the work in, you putting the work ethic through there. You telling us that, hey, you know what? You want to be one of the greats, not just want to play football. You want to be one of the best at it.
And you know what, though? When we talk about the GOAT, that's the thing. You know, a lot of times in basketball, everybody, you know, they come for Kobe and LeBron and guys like that that wanted to challenge the Jordans of the world. But I always respected guys like that because they didn't shy away from what that responsibility means, right?
Right.
And when you got a guy like Tom Brady, man, this guy's done everything at the highest of levels. And Caleb, if that's the type of energy you coming in here with, and you trying to bring us 8 championships here to Chicago, okay. Shit, what are we here for?
Hey, I can dig that, man. I'm not going to lie to you. But you talk about Tom Brady, that means it's not just about on the football field. It's actually outside, off the football field that matters too. And I think he's one of those guys who want to show us that, hey, I'm not just a football player. I'm a leader. I'm a guy that's going to do right off the field. And hey, all this is going to show.
Listen, I'm keeping this about football. We ain't had a championship in almost 40 fucking years. That off the field stuff, that's cute. And hey, I agree with that. If this man bring us a championship to this championship star fan base, A-Dub, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We know how the 85 Bears are. They still eating for free in this town. I always joke about that, but it's true.
Yep.
It's true. I had dinner the other night. Otis Wilson came in there. I was waiting to see. I'm like, damn, yeah, they didn't even put no billfold down. I'm like, see, they're still eating free.
That's what's up, though, man. But it just shows, it tells you about the legacy you create by winning in Chicago. If you do that, man, if Caleb can do the something that a lot of quarterbacks have failed to do, man, and get a championship here, Perez, his stardom goes off the roof. You talking about seeing people eating for free, man, imagine what he going to get for free.
Well, yeah, we're going to keep this clean. This is a PG-13 show. I don't know what A-Dub's over here talking about, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man, Fred, you're killing me.
You knew I was going to get you. But no, but like in all seriousness, though, we are in a very unique situation here because when you look at Caleb Williams, the last quarterback prospect of his magnitude was Andrew Luck. And when you look at the Bears, we've had this generational curse at quarterback.
Right.
And this is what Caleb Williams is facing. And this man don't seem like the type of guy that's going to shy away from that. If he's over here talking about Tom Brady and the GOAT status, I don't think he's worried about the issues that we've had at the quarterback position.
Right, Chris. A lot of that stuff don't even matter to him.
And on top of it, he's coming into a situation here in Chicago where they're setting him up for success, right? And we talked right about in the past, well, that wasn't there for Justin. Okay, you know, we're turning the page now. But when you look at the plate that Caleb Williams is about to sit up here and have in front of him, oh, man. There's no excuses.
You got all the weapons you need, Perez. I mean, think about it. The running back, the wide receivers. We saw what the defense did last season that you and I talked about. I mean, you come into a very good situation with a team that's on the rise.
Man, oh, man. That brother, he – listen, Caleb, you talking all that good stuff right now. But we need you to come here and do half, 75% of the things that people are out here saying that you could do. Listen. For us here, we don't know what that's like to have an Andrew Luck back there. Right. So, man, if you could just scratch the surface of that your rookie year, that's enough to get us into the playoffs. So, this is how low the bar is for me that I'm over here talking about the playoffs. Playoffs!
But you know what? A guy like Caleb Williams has potential to do that, man. Because I'll tell you one thing, if he doesn't do that, Perez, you already know what's going to happen.
Oh, man, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We already know. We already know. Listen, the amount of pressure from the fan base is going to be insane. And it's because when you talk about a guy being a can't-miss prospect and when you see what Ryan Poles has done for him, day one,
right, there's
going to be a lot expected of him. And guess what? Hey, when you're great and when you strive for greatness, that's what you want to take on. So I don't see him shying away from it. And guess what? People are going to be here waiting for you. The media is going to be waiting for you. The fan base is going to be waiting for you. The coaching staff is going to be waiting for you. I mean, you already see what Montez Sweat had to say about the situation, A-Dub. And he's like, look, don't try to do it all overnight. Stay humble. Be yourself. Hey, that's a leader of this team. Just come in here. Come prepared. Come ready to work.
Because they saw what Justin Fields. People can say what they want to say about him. That kid came in and he worked for us. So they're looking for some of those same type of attributes, which I believe they will get. But hey, be yourself, man. Come in and show the fans that, hey, you know what? This is Caleb Williams' team now. It's no longer just the Fields' team. I'm going to make the fans move on from that.
See, this is why it was so important what Ryan Poles did for Caleb Williams, because a lot of times when you get these can't-miss type prospects, they are surrounded by a really bad supporting cast.
Right.
And Joe Burrow's the only guy that's been able to get it done on his own right before they got Jamar Chase. But think about Mitch Trubisky. I know all this. I'm moving on from that one really quick. But Zach Wilson, Baker Mayfield, those are just a couple of guys that kind of come to mind of just that's what happens when you have a weak supporting cast and then you ask a quarterback to basically do it all on their own. And guys are just not getting it done. So Caleb Williams is not being asked to do that. So I think the advice that he got from Montez Sweat was huge. Just come in here and do what you got to do.
Because Montez Sweat let him know that, hey, this defense here, we look pretty good, man. We're gonna go out there and help you out, you know. You got some guys on the offense, they're going to do things for you too. So don't come in there and think you got to do everything. You in a good situation, just, hey, go out and do your job.
Yeah, and he actually even called out some of those guys on offense. He talked about Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, and he said, look, we got some dogs coming in here that got added to the mix. So,
right.
Again, it just goes to show you that we're in the right spot here. And, again, not only is the organization getting comfortable with the idea of Caleb, but I also think Caleb is getting comfortable with the idea of playing here in Chicago.
That's a good thing. He's getting comfortable with that, Perez. I mean, a lot of communication going on, man, between him and the Bears organization at this point. And I like what's happening in the offseason.
Well, think about it. It was just a few months ago, A-Dub, where there was rumors out here that he didn't want to play for Chicago. You remember that nonsense?
Yep.
That out there, and they were saying it was because of the Bears' track record and history at the quarterback position. And when we locked up that top pick from the Panthers, it was one of those things that a lot of people wondered, well, how are they viewing this situation?
This ain't how it was. This is it. It's not like how it was with Justin Fields, like you mentioned earlier, Perez. This is different, man. A whole different setup. So right now, his first 2 years with the Bears can be totally different.
So as I was mentioning, I mean, A-Dub, at that point, the Bears had recently locked up the top pick that they got from the Carolina Panthers. And again, everyone knew that Caleb Williams was going to be that target there at number one. And honestly, again, all the stuff that we talked about in the show before that we don't need to repeat, but the moves we made on offense, bringing in weapons, bringing in a new OC, trading away Justin Fields. I think, honestly, a lot of those things that we're seeing, I think it has Caleb Williams a little bit more comfortable.
The Bears done a good job by doing that for Caleb Williams because now he doesn't have to deal with so much what Justin Fields had to deal with. Now we can see this kid just go out there and play and grow as a player. And then hopefully everything works out in his favor.
And I'm even hearing, man, from people that I actually trust in this media space that have had a chance to have a conversation with Caleb that he actually is really happy with the Bears and what they have to offer and also can see himself enjoying living here in Chicago.
Man, this is a great city anyhow, Perez. You know me.
Of course.
I love
my Dallas. The greatest city, man.
Yeah, so he should enjoy all what's here, man. It should fit right on in. Should be home to him. Love the bright lights out here, man, with the fan base. He's going to enjoy that part of it. But on the field, to your point, just a good situation to be in if you're Caleb Williams. And most quarterbacks will love the situation that Caleb Williams is in right now.
Now, the one thing that I really liked about Caleb Williams and his camp is that they were very open and honest and frank and very direct about what they expected from the Bears. They wanted investment and they wanted infrastructure to help Caleb reach his goals, right? And yeah, that's why this whole Tom Brady and winning multiple Super Bowl things is something that is very important to Caleb. He cares about legacy. He talked about that at the Combine, A-Dub. And so far, the Bears have delivered upon those things that Caleb was asking for.
Now it's up to Caleb to deliver, Perez, because right now you see – we put an infrastructure in place, right? You already talked about the coaching that's been done already. You talked about, you know what I mean, the players we have on this team, the caliber of weapons he has. Now it's up to Caleb to say, hey, take all this, man, use it to your full advantage. Because you're talking about being ready. These type of weapons you got here is what you're going to need to get to that level.
And this is another thing about him. He said, look, I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy. So this is showing you a guy that cares about legacy, that doesn't want to bounce around from team to team. And he said he just wants to be in a place to lose ball. And he said that's all he's heard about Chicago so far. And guess what, Caleb? You heard correctly, because not only from the fan base, but the organization, I know that they want to win. There was a while there that I didn't believe that they wanted to win. When I look at what Ryan Poles has done with this organization, with Kevin Warren, I think they're committed to putting a winning product out here on the field.
Did you see the last few years, man, how this team starting to grow? You know, you talked a lot about what Ryan Poles had to endure coming on board, and he done a good job at changing this team around, man. And look where they are now at this point, right? To be able to get the number one pick with Caleb Williams and then continue to move in the right direction. I mean, I like where we're heading to. So you're right, with Ryan Poles, Caleb Williams together, man, they got something going. And I hope that we're able to get some wins out of all this, Perez, and hopefully a championship.
I'm just really excited for this new direction. I can't wait to get down to Detroit. And audience, we'll be covering the NFL draft for a second year in a row. We'll be having some insights and interviews, AW and I'll be podcasting directly from the draft room. So we'll be able to get you guys those reactions from the players that the Bears draft there in that first round. Now, speaking of that, AW, people have been wanting us to do some predictions here for the first round of the draft. Number one, I think it's a no-brainer, so I don't think we need to talk about that anymore. But at that number nine pick, A-Dub, what are the Chicago Bears going to do?
Chris, I think the Bears are going to trade down. You know, exactly what they did last year, and I think they're going to go out there attack. The guy who I think they're going to go with is Washington tackle Troy Fontenot. I think that dude, man, can come and help the Chicago Bears team on the offensive line. We already know that's one of the areas that's not our strongest suit. And I like the fact that Ryan Poles made that area a priority. And I think at that point, they probably can get somebody just as good as what we had last year.
Okay, Doug. So what's up with your boy Braxton Jones? We're not hiring him anymore?
You know what, Perez? It's not even just about Braxton Jones, man. It's about long-term, you know what I mean? Because somehow every year, you know this, we always got somebody hurt on the offensive line, man. And then we hurt, and then we're done with. And now we got to worry about our quarterback taking punishment, right? You need as many guys on that O-line as you can, knowing the Bears' history. So I do think having a Troy on this team will be good, but I'm not so sold on Braxton Jones. Is he the type of guy that can play a full season and show us signs of growth?
Whew. I mean, hey, brother, when you talk about bringing in a franchise cornerstone at quarterback, hey, you can't you got to turn over every stone. So
right,
hey, it's not about emotions; it's about getting the job done. You know what I mean?
Exactly. If they can let Justin Fields go, hey man, anybody expendable, dude. I'm just saying, bro.
I mean, that part is true. I would say there's been so much talk here about the Bears at the number nine pick and what they were going to do. I still think wide receiver is going to be the pick here. I don't think they're trading up. There was a lot of talk, Ada, when you and I went on podcasting for about that week and a half stretch where there are people saying, oh, the Bears are going to trade up and they're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Audience, that is not happening. As much as I would love that, listen, you know, A-Dub, how much I wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. to be in the Bears uniform.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. Right. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get Caleb and y'all going to be good with that. But I think they're going to find a decent complement at that wide receiver spot. And I, in my opinion, A-Dub, I know a lot of people, I know y'all like Rome, but I'm thinking Malik Nabers may be the Bears pick at nine.
Do you think he's going to be a available at nine?
I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping. This is what I'm hoping for, A-Dub. I'm hoping that we get these quarterback hungry teams that trade up and basically it pushes some guys down. I'm really hoping, right? And then maybe Ryan Poles looks at that and says, maybe I trade up one spot and get the guy that I want. And it won't be as cost prohibitive as moving up from nine to three. You know what I mean? You know, like that crazy talk that people were out here doing. Because you know, at four, Arizona wants Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, yeah. I ain't mad at them for that. I get it. I totally get it. And they should.
But my thing is, you got teams out here that are hot and heavy for J.J. McCarthy. So you never know what may happen there. I'm hearing rumors where Jaden Daniels is slipping down the draft board. There's teams that are hot and heavy after Drake May.
Yep.
So my thing is, you never know how that first seven picks may kind of trickle through.
Because you're right. If that's the case, you're right. A guy like Nabers could go down a few slots.
Now, as a backup, if he's not there, I am hoping Dallas Turner is the pick. So I'm going to give you guys just a bonus addition there. If Nabers isn't there at nine, Dallas Turner from Alabama. That would be like my backup choice there. Just because I know we need help there at the edge rush position. And I think that this draft is deep enough for wide receivers that I think that you can go ahead and find a receiver in that third round if, you know what I mean, if it comes to that.
Yeah.
So they got options.
And I do like this group of wide receivers in this draft class anyhow, or late rounds, but I think the Bears kind of know that already. So you're right. They could be planning some good things about what you're talking about here.
Everybody obviously is going to talk about Marvin Harrison and what he brings to the table, rightfully so.
Right.
I'm huge on Malik Nabers, brother. If that happened, I am going to lose my mind in that draft room. I am going to lose my mind because, dude, the ability, what he'll be able to do in that wide receiver room, complementing Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And for all the people out here that's worried about Keenan Allen's contract, okay, fine. If he's only here for 1 year, well, you draft a guy like Neighbors, then that replaces what he did.
Right. You got your number two if anything goes wrong and Keenan not happy here.
But the thing is, Keenan wants to be here. So we just may have him all.
And my thing is this. I know with Neighbors, people are going to sit here and say, Press, we know that you've been scouting this guy. We know that you know that there's holes in his game. Of course, it's a draft prospect. No draft prospect is mistake-proof. I mean, even with Caleb Williams, there's things that I pointed out about him on film that he has to clean up. The thing with Neighbors, he's not that great of a route runner. However, top-end speed, separation, he can learn how to run fucking routes now.
Exactly. You got Keenan. You got DJ Moore. They'll teach you a few things, man. You can learn a lot from those vets right there. So there's an upside to him that I like, Press. So you talk about that speed, and then he learned a few more things, and then he come in a situation where he doesn't have to be a number one. He can be a number three wide receiver. That's good, too. He can do his thing.
I know, A-Dub, I think you mentioned before on another show that you thought Rome Odunze would be a good option here at nine. And guess what, man? This guy right here, good size, elite ball skills, pause. But this is the thing. He dominated his competition. So, of course, if we ended up with him at nine, I'm not going to be upset about it.
No.
But I just want to – if we drafted Caleb Williams, I want to go for home runs. That's where I'm at over here.
I give Ryan Poles credit. He can do a couple of things, man, when it comes down to drafting. But you never know what may happen with that. But at the end of the day, Chris, we can't hit a home run. I'll take a trip.
Yeah, and that's what Odunze is for me. And listen, he may even say, okay, Perez, you don't think I'm a home run pick? I'm going to show you. And guess what? Go ahead, show me. I want to be wrong. Shoot. I don't have that type of ego.
Right.
But as I was mentioning, right, so there's just a lot of talent here, wide receiver. And so you got to think about it. Brian Thomas, LSU, another top prospect at the wide receiver position. Keon Coleman from Florida State. He's a guy that I really like. Guy that can go up and get a fucking ball. And that's the thing here, that when you got a quarterback like Caleb Williams, who's going to be unconventional at times with things, fit him the football into tight windows, having a receiver like a Keon Coleman, who was a former basketball player, audience, that matters. You know what I'm saying? We've seen some of those type of guys with that type of skill set. It sets people apart. Remember Randy Moss. I'm not comparing it to, but Randy Moss was a former basketball player. And you just throw that football up, and Randy Moss is going up there and getting that sucker.
And they got hands, Chris. You like that, man. That athletic ability.
And then Roman Wilson from Michigan. He's a guy that we talked about before on the show.
Yeah.
He's a guy that impressed the Senior Bowl. He's another guy. So, like I said, there's so many weapons and options there at wide receiver. So, let's just say they do decide to go edge rusher at nine. I think you got options. A-Dub, offensive tackle. I wouldn't hate that. But I more so think that, I mean, this is just my opinion, right? There's no right or wrong here. I'm just giving, like, just a counterpoint to it.
Right.
I think that, man, they could probably get an offensive tackle prospect in the fourth round.
Think about where Braxton Jones went, you know, in the draft, when the Bears got him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Jones been solid for the Bears, you know, but if you can get better, that's all I will say for Caleb Williams. But to your point, they probably can get a gem out there in later rounds.
But, man, when you talked about Troy from Washington, hey, man, I mean, I'm with the smoke on that one, because that guy right there, he's a brawler, man. And there's no finesse to his game. And he's a perfect complement to what we have at right tackle with Darnell Wright.
Because right.
Darnell Wright ain't about that life either. Darnell Wright's going to pop you in the fucking face.
And right now, you do not regret drafting Darnell Wright, man.
No, no.
I see a lot in this kid. I like what he's been able to accomplish thus far with the Chicago Bears. But having somebody at that pedigree to help him out, oh, man, that's what you want.
But I don't know, man. I also kind of see a potential for him to play guard at the next level as well. So, we'll definitely see. But as far as offensive tackle is concerned, I mean, this draft is deep there. So, there's so many ways that this team could go.
Yeah, that's what you like, man. Ryan Poles got a lot to think about, man. And just seeing how deep some positions are in this draft.
Especially on the interior of the line.
We see some movement there that shows that, hey, they're still trying to put Caleb Williams in the best position possible.
But the problem is, we only got four picks. And so Ryan Poles is going to have to make sure that whichever way he goes, he's going to have to knock those out of the park, which is why I'm over here talking about home runs. Because, man, If he can go Caleb Williams' neighbors, 1-2 punch,
woo,
my goodness, right? But jeez, Caleb Williams Odunze, that ain't a bad fallback plan.
No, not at all, Perez. That could be the potential right there for what Brian Poles wants to do. But at the end of the day, bro, that's still an upgrade to what we currently have right now. So just 100%. Doing that and seeing the other pieces are still being added, and you add that to it too, it's better, man.
Now, I'm probably going to have people in the audience saying, okay, Perez, well, then if they go quarterback receiver with the first two picks there, what's going to happen in the third round? All right, so the third round is where you go get your edge rusher, right? So if we don't get the edge rusher there in the first round, as I'm thinking it could happen if they don't get neighbors.
Well,
Chris Braswell. Now, that's the guy that we covered at the Senior Bowl. And with the Bears having a lack of picks, they're going to have to go after premium positions, I think, in this draft to kind of get this roster kind of finalized. And with a guy like Braswell, he has explosive flashes. I mean, he's very quick off the edge. Somebody that I think that could really learn from a Montez Sweat and could really be a difference maker in his defense, potentially in the third round.
But we know that we can't rely and put everything on Montez Sweat. We know the guy's going to need some help. So if the Bears can draft somebody that could come in immediately and make an impact, I can roll with that.
Now, in the fourth round, audience, just to throw out a bonus, just because your boy Prez is feeling good, he's in a good mood today, I think this is where you go get the offensive tackle that A-Dub was talking about, right? And there's a kid, Javon Foster from Missouri, somebody that really flashed, I thought, really well this season. And while offensive tackle isn't the biggest area, I think, that the Bears have on their roster, it's nothing wrong with adding depth. Now, right. I think this would be a guy that probably wouldn't take over for Braxton Jones, but he would add depth there in the case of something would happen injury-wise, right? You never know what could happen there. I think, honestly, with the Bears, I think they still need to look at that interior of the line, but maybe that could still be shored up in free agency, right? Because there's still some guys out there.
Right. So you pretty much going where you got Larry Borum from. All right. But I'm just saying, Larry Borum got to a good start with the Bears, right? Remember, before things went downhill.
Yeah, I just think that you need a development, a prospect that you can work with. Larry Borum was not drafted by this regime. So,
no.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of where that goes.
True. You're right about that. See some things, man. And if you don't like what he see, man, move on from it.
Man, I'm just I keep saying it, man. I'm so excited. When I saw that the offseason program was gearing back up this week, I said, "Hey, Dub, man, we are getting closer and closer to some football return."
The thing is, I just love the buildup. You know, all this is buildup,
and so that's where the players are coming in, getting some of that work and conditioning and getting their rehab done. And hey, listen, man, this is when this time of year, once the draft comes and goes. Oh, it's go time.
I know you love it, Prince. I know, man. You can't wait, bro. I know.
Man, I'm chomping at the bit, baby. Chomping at the bit. OTAs and mandatory mini camps. Bring it on.
Caleb Williams, bro. Huge.
And then the rookie mini camp this year is going to be really lit. And, you know, audience, A-Dub and I will be there. We'll be there. We're credentialed for all of the off-season workouts and so forth. So you'll be getting a lot of insight from us on things that we're seeing directly. We'll be getting a lot of that content from the podcast on our DB feed. But anything from like a written format, like article-wise, that'll be on our Chicago State of Mind platform. So if you're not tuned in to us there, what are you waiting for? Go ahead and subscribe to us. It's free. Come on now. Do it.
Holla at your boys.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, audience. A-Dub and I, we might holler at y'all one more time before we get out there to the draft. A-Dub, I got a feeling some things are going to pop off early next week, and then we may have to get back here on the podcast and do like some emergency type pod. I just feel like something's brewing. I don't know what it is, but I just feel something coming. Feel it in the air. I don't know.
So you know what?
So I just feel like we may get back on here before the draft.
But every time you have that feeling, bro, something always happen, man.
I'm telling you, ain't that my spidey senses, they going off. And if not, audience, then A-Dub and I'll holler at y'all Thursday live from Detroit. Until then, we are out.